We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good morning to you, Brevard County. Welcome to August 3rd. Pray that you are having a great day in the Lord. We're going to be having a very good day today. I want to take you in the scriptures this morning to John chapter 9. We're going to be talking more of lighting up the place, lighting up the world for the glory of God. So we're going to be in John chapter 9. But before we get there, I want to say thank you to the fine folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, give them a call. Let them and their decades of experience, knowing how to do things the right way the first time, let them have all of the fun of doing the project that you need. But you do need to be contacting them in advance. You want to make sure that there is that there's not a delay in your project simply because you didn't plan far enough ahead. So 321-536-5804, that's Jits Concrete. And you'll probably get Greg when you call that number. Tell him you heard about him on the Refresh radio program. And that would be a wonderful blessing for us to hear that we were able to make a divine connection between need and need meter. So 321-536-5804. By the way, you are tuned into the Refresh radio program here on Friday, August the 3rd. And my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And we are so thankful for this great radio station that takes the word of God out to Brevard County and surrounding communities as well. The AM station that this program is rebroadcast on has a very far reach, and the FM station has a website that anywhere the internet goes, this Refresh radio program can go as well. And so even if you're not in Brevard County, but you do like to listen to the program, you can catch up on whatever programs you may have missed by going to the WMIEFM.com website. Down at the bottom of the page, listen on demand, click in a date, and it will give you access to that program. You'll find four or five programs that are listed there depending upon the day, and you can click on the Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs, and you'll be able to listen to the program and download it to your computer and pass it out to all of your friends. Anyway, John chapter 9, verse number 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, and he made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So I want to continue on the theme that we talked about yesterday. I want to do let you know that following is not necessarily when Jesus is talking, following me, it's not just necessarily a geographical thing. You know, I find it to be extremely fruitful when I am planted where God wants me to be. I believe that has been very, very instrumental, that stubborn for the things of God instead of stubborn against the things of God, that I said, you know what, God is the one that planted me here, And so I'm not going to let discouragement, I'm not going to let disappointment, I'm not going to let depression, I'm not going to let finances determine this. I'm going to say yes to God's plan, and I'm going to occupy this position that has been entrusted to me by my commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, until he says, okay, it's time for you to come home, or there's a repositioning. He's in charge of that. That's his responsibility. His responsibility is to lead. My responsibility is to follow him and lead others. That's my responsibility. So he wants to take us from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory, from truth to truth. He wants us to be growing in him, and that will happen as we follow him. Jesus in John chapter 9 is presented with the situation of a man who was blind from birth. And let me just touch on this a little bit. This doesn't necessarily have anything to do with our topic at hand. But in verse number 2, his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? People always want to assign blame. You know, there are some things that I've done in my life that the consequences that I deal with, they're my fault. I did do something that resulted in that, you know, the consequences becoming a reality in my life. There are probably some things that I've experienced in my life that, you know, are there because some decisions that other people made in their life. And I just was part of the collateral collection process. But when it comes to sickness and disease and affliction, the truth of the matter is this: we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that has been plagued by sin for a long, long time. And, you know, to look at this man and ask, you know, God, he's blind, it must be because he sinned. Well, he's been blind since he was born. He had no vision when he was born. You can't even sin until after you've, you know, developed some sin skills in you. You know, you've got a fallen nature, but it takes a while before you get that. I mean, nobody's holding babies responsible for the messes that they make in their diaper and things like that. So, I always like to say that when people point their fingers to other people and they say, well, if you had more faith, you wouldn't be in this situation. Or, well, it's because of something that you've done that you're in this predicament, and they want to try and beat that person down like Job's comforters did to him. I like to tell them, hey, well, just remind those people that when Jesus was speaking in the house and some men had a friend that was paralyzed and they wanted Jesus to heal him, that Jesus was in the middle of the house. The men ripped off the roof, lowered their friend down into the house, and it said, and when Jesus saw their faith, it makes no mention at all about the man's faith at that point in time. It was talking about the faith that his friends had, that they were willing to go to those serious extremes just to make sure that their friend had a Jesus encounter. So I don't like, and so I tell them, say, well, maybe in the situation, maybe it's not God saying that my faith is insufficient. I want to ask you, where is your faith? And so I don't really care about the blame situation. I like to solve the problems. I don't like to ignore things. I like to deal with them once and not have to deal with them again. That would be glorious, wouldn't it? But, you know, that beating somebody else down so that you feel good about yourself with your faith, I'm not into that at all. So Jesus answered and he said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now, if I asked you today in your present circumstance, imperfect as it may be, how many of you, rather than saying, well, it's my fault, their fault, his fault, her fault, nobody's fault, how many of you I've said, you know what, you are in the situation you are in right now, and God's desire is not to lay blame, but God's desire is to reveal God in you, the works of God being revealed in your situation, so that he receives glory and honor right now in that place. That's a noble goal. You know, I know people who, you know, they've got some tremendously noble, heartfelt attitudes towards the situations they've gotten. They say, God, this situation is not a lot of fun. It's not comfortable. It's painful. It hurts. But I want you to be revealed. I want the works of God to be revealed in this situation. God, I want people to know that you are on the throne and that you do all things well. And that's a completely different mindset than laying the blame. Saying, you know what? I don't know who the blame lies with, but I know where the glory goes, and the glory goes to God. He says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So you do need to understand that seasons come and seasons go. Jesus said, you've got to be doing the job that needs to be done during the opportunity for the job to get done, because there's a time coming when you may not be able to do what you want to do now. People are really good at procrastinating. I'm really good at procrastinating, evidently. Because now there are some things I don't procrastinate on, but there's, you know, trying to lose the poundage that I've been trying to lose now for several years has been extremely frustrating to me. Not because I haven't tried, it's just I haven't been successful at it yet. But I know that I need to be successful at it, because there may come a time where it is no longer optional. I read a book one time. It was called Change Before You Have To. Change Before You Have To. And that's really the important thing. For us, we need to obey before the opportunity to obey is gone. We need to be praying for that loved one to be saved before the window of opportunity that person has closes. We need to be doing the work of the ministry as unto the Lord, unto the glory of the Lord, because there may come a time where the door closes. Do you realize that at one point in time, China was wide open to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Hudson Taylor, one of the most influential missionaries in church history, was actually ministering in China, had sown lots of seeds in China, and then one day there was a government change, and one day Christianity was legal, the next day Christianity was illegal, and missionaries were forced out of the country. You never know how long a window is going to stay open. And so I encourage you, work while it is day, because there may come a time where you're not be able to do that. And Jesus goes on and says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And, you know, I'm very thankful that he is the light of the world, that he's still in the world, that his body, the body of Christ, is his hands, his feet extended, and that you and I still have the privilege of representing him well. Want to take you over to John chapter 11 for the second part of today's broadcast, John chapter 11. So as you're turning over there, I pray that God does take you from strength to strength, from light to light, and impossible situations will be accomplished. Impossible goals will be accomplished so that God receives the glory. Here is another impossible situation. This is dealing with Lazarus and him needing to be resurrected. But before we get, we're not going to get all the way to that part, but we're going to talk about Jesus dealing with his disciples. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world." We just talked about that. That was Jesus. Verse number 10. "But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." So here again, we see that Jesus, the things that he doesn't necessarily do them in the time frame that man wants them to be done in. It may even seem that he has missed his window of opportunity, but in actuality, Jesus is never late. He's never premature. He's never tardy. He's never late. He is always right on time. And he says that the reason that he has done the situation with Lazarus, the way that he has, the process that was in place, the timing of it, was so that the disciples would believe. He wanted to make sure, listen, he was committing into these men's hands the responsibility of reaching the entire world with the news of Jesus' birth, death, resurrection, and saving grace. He needed to make sure that they knew that he wasn't just a good teacher, he wasn't just a prophet, he wasn't just a man of God, he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah, the anointed one of God, who came as the Lamb to take away the sins of the world. He says, "I need to make sure that you believe." And so as he's in discussion with these disciples, he says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world." We've been talking about following Jesus and letting him take us from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And here, he says that as long as we are walking with him, we will not stumble. You say, "Well, you don't understand. My life is all nice and easy. It's not a place that is prone to stumbling." I had a person tell me one time, they were 92. They said, "Man, I am too old to misbehave." And I want you to know that's not true. If you think that statement is true, then I want to ask you to have a conversation with some of the staff that works in some of the retirement homes, because you might find that it's a pretty interesting place as far as what some of the residents there do. Sin is not about whether you're old or young. It is about whether or not you're going to be walking in obedience. And here he says, if you and I walk in the daytime, we will not stumble. I don't want you to stumble. Stumbling can be painful. You know, I used to work in a mall and loved to observe people. And so one of the things that I found extremely interesting was that when people would be walking in the mall, if they stumbled, if they got off stride, everybody would always turn around. They would continue to walk, but they would look back at the place that they stumbled as if it was that thing's fault. Now, sometimes that can happen, but most of the time it happens because we aren't focused on the walk that we have at that point in time. We begin to take our abilities for granted. And Jesus says, listen, I'm giving light so that you can walk without stumbling. Wouldn't it be awesome to live our life without sinning, without stumbling? Wouldn't it be great if I could do a radio program without any verbal faux pas? just so that you know that I'm speaking not just at you. I'm speaking to us here today. It would be great to live like that. Well, the way to accomplish that in life is to be walking with Jesus and walking in his revelation and his instruction, walking in fellowship with him, and start off by not stumbling in the next minute. And said, man, that's tremendous. And then say, you know what? Let's see if we can stretch that out to 5 minutes. Not so that we can set a Guinness World Record, but so that we can represent Jesus well by our walk. I've told you on the program here before about one day I was out playing golf with my dad in Oklahoma. My mother was out in the golf cart, and it was cart path only that day, and we'd both hit our balls onto the opposite side of the cart of the fairway from the cart path. So we had to walk, both of us, our balls were in similar spots. And she said, you all walk exactly alike. Your posture, everything about your walk is exactly alike. People need to see our walk and see that it represents Jesus well. He says, verse number 10, but if one walks in the night, he stumbles because, listen to this, the light is not in him. He says he stumbles because he walks in the night. He walks when there's inadequate revelation of the atmosphere, of the current conditions, of the terrain. It may be concealing some unevenness in the path that is there. And he says, but the real problem is not the absence of light in the environment. The real problem is the absence of light within him. Let me just ask this question. How do you suppose we would be able to impact our society if there was more godliness inside of us? I happen to think that if there was more of the power of God, more of the Spirit of God, more of the Word of God inside of us, that we're going to be having a greater impact upon people. I think that many times we are trying to operate with minimalist lighting instead of maximum lighting. Now, when most Monday through Friday, my wife gets up. Well, I take that back. Monday through Friday, except for Thursday, my wife gets up before me. And so she spends many of those days operating with just enough light for her to function. On Thursday and Sunday, the roles are reversed, and I operate like that. And so when I'm getting ready for church on Sunday morning, a lot of times I will activate the light that is on my cell phone just so I can make sure that I've got socks that are the same color and shoes that are the same color, and that the outfit coordinates. And so I'm operating with very minimalist lighting. And, you know, every once in a while, that minimalist mindset doesn't work. What would our society be like? I was talking about that minimalist because I believe that there are too many in the body of Christ right now that we are looking for barely saved instead of completely saved. Getting just across the threshold of heaven is good enough. There, whether it's been pain from the past or painful bitterness encounters that you've had with other believers, whatever it may be pressure from society and things like that. But how many of you want your heart to be holy? How many of us want our mouths to be holy? How many of us want our eyes to be holy and our ears to be holy? My wife and I were trying to watch a movie, and it was on one of the satellite channels or television stations. It wasn't ABC, CBS, or NBC. And we put it on there, and we didn't have it on there but about 30 seconds when all of a sudden the language took a turn, and we said, you know what? We can't watch that. We figured all of that stuff had been edited out. It hadn't been. And so we said, we're not going to sit here and subject ourselves to that. Let's be so in love with God and so in love with what He is able to do inside of us. Let's let that become a part of us, where it's not something that we're doing just because it's external. God's actually given us a heart for it. I don't know about you, but I have physically fallen too many times in my adult life. I'm not talking in a spiritual sense. I'm talking in an actual physical sense. And I discovered this: falling at my age hurts. it's not that I'm that old. It's just that it hurts. You know, you just don't bounce back like you did as a child. I can tell you this also: spiritually falling, I've had my fill of that. I don't want it anymore. I don't want to make excuses for it anymore. I don't want to enable it anymore. I want to live my life as stumble-free as I possibly can, and I hope that you do as well. God bless you. You have a marvelous weekend, and we will see you Monday morning right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I will sing to be a man for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the